Good afternoon. My name is Kelly Carroll, and I'm conducting a series of community oral history projects for the New York Preservation Archive Project. This series is called Inspired by Grassroots Stories, Community Architectural Advocacy. I want to thank the New York State Council on the Arts and Pat Reisinger for making this program possible today. And I have the pleasure of meeting with and speaking with Barbara Stronser this afternoon. She is a lifelong Bronx resident and is passionate about keeping the city clean. Over time, she's been involved from everything from organizing park cleanups to beautification projects and simply helping people in the neighborhood. She currently serves as the president of the Bedford Moshulu Community Association and is chairperson of Bronx Community Board 7's Parks Committee. Stronser is also a member of the 52nd Precinct Community Council and is a board member of both the Bedford Park Multi-Service Center and the West Bronx Housing and Resource Center. So thank you so much for being with us today, Barbara. And it's so nice to see you after all this time. So my first question for you is, you are a lifelong Bronx resident. Where exactly did you grow up in the Bronx?
Today it's called South Fordham, 184th Street.
And most of your community activism has centered around the Bedford Park area neighborhood, Moshulu Parkway. When did you move to that area?
Well, I was still in school when we moved up here to Moshulu Parkway.
Okay, so in high school or?
I think I was starting college.
Yeah. Okay, so quite a while. You were the first person I got in touch with when I worked with Historic Districts Council. You were always the first point of contact. And it was immediate to me that your organization, the Bedford Moshulu Community Association, was quite strong within the community. And I know that it's nearly 50 years old. You'll be celebrating your 50th anniversary in 2025. And when I was preparing for today, I noticed that the year 1975 was a pivotal moment for your community. I understand that the community association was formed in 75 by about 300 residents that met at the Bedford Park Congregational Church. Were you involved when that was going on?
Yes, I went to that meeting and that was really the first time we as a community got together to do anything. We were also very lucky to have at that time the founding of the Northwest Bronx Community and Clergy Coalition. And what they did was to divide the Northwest Bronx into specific neighborhoods. And each neighborhood had what they called a community organizer. It was a paid position. They managed to get funding from banks and different corporations. And it was through the first organizer in our area, who's John Riley. Today, he's still active in his role as a developer in Bedford Park, who organized us to get together and form an association. We started as five or six block associations, and we started as a security patrol in the area. The neighborhood was changing, people were moving, whatever, and the feeling was that the community had to do a little more to establish security. So we started as a security patrol, but you know, when you depend on volunteers to go out several nights a week with walkie-talkies and whatever, in the beginning, everybody was enthusiastic. After a couple of months, people didn't want to do that anymore. So rather than just disbanding, we decided we were going to turn the association, which was then called Bedford Moshulu Community Association, as it is today, into a community group that would be more civic-minded and work to improve the area. And we've been in existence since then. I was not, the first few years, I was not a member of their executive board, but after a while, whatever, I did join and, you know, hold different positions and whatever.
So interesting. And I have so many questions about how your mission has changed with the neighborhood over the years. So to stay in 1975 for a moment, there was another thing that happened, which was you talk about how people were leaving, and anybody with a basic knowledge of New York City history knows that 1970s, especially the late 70s, were not a great time for the city. And the city was cutting a lot of services, especially in the Bronx. And I know that in 1975, the city was going to close the 52nd precinct, and that BMCA was instrumental in keeping it open. Were you involved with that?
Yes, I was a member of the association at that time. As I said, I was not an officer. And I can recall some of our demonstrations. One of the families that lived in the neighborhood owned a funeral home, and they provided us with an empty coffin. And we got together and had a demonstration. We marched down Webster Avenue to Fordham Row. A few of our members carried the coffin on their shoulders, and everybody else carried signs that if we lose the precinct, it's going to be the death of the neighborhood. That was very effective. Needless to say, we got a lot of press and all. And then we followed that up with a sit-in at the 52nd precinct. The 52nd was a much smaller precinct at that time. I don't mean physically, I mean by the number of police officers that were assigned, and we decided we were going to have one Friday night a sleepover in the precinct. Needless to say, the officers at the precinct did not mind because we were supporting them. And I can remember the next morning, then Congressman Biaggi coming, and he always was dressed neatly and suit, a tie, the whole bit. He comes in, he says, I want to be here when the cameras are coming and whatever. So he came and he says, I'm going to look like, he says, I'll sit here on a chaise lounge like I slept overnight also. Well, needless to say, he looked two together to say that he slept. So they rumpled him up a little bit, took his jacket and tie off, messed his hair up and whatever. And he was there for the cameras. And with all this publicity, the city finally changed its mind.
Yeah. And your neighborhood, this area of the Bronx, it didn't suffer the same fate as some other areas in the borough. Would you attribute this to the community's like involvement and activism?
Yes, to an extent. However, we did see a lot of changes. I can remember when I first moved into this neighborhood, we had a lot of local fires, stores, and we had a Bedford Park Casino on Bedford Park Boulevard fire. Our train station, our Metro North station here, the old station was burned down. We lost two small walk-up apartments a block away from me, another casualty of a fire. So, you know, things were changing.
Understood. So you are its fifth and longest serving president from the association. When did you become an officer? And what are, I also know you have a passion for green spaces. So what would you say the organization has accomplished under your leadership? And when did you get involved?
When the organization was put together, and as I said, not in the role as an officer, but I was an active participant. And since then, and looking back on the years that I've served as president, most recent, we managed to stop a homeless shelter from going into a building opposite our local school, PS20. That was about 3 years ago. There was a large industrial building where I guess one could go and buy carpeting and whatever, and that was sold. And evidently the developer who bought it was going to use it for a homeless shelter. And we went out and we rallied at the public school right after school, which and the school was right across the street. And we were able, with the help of our council person, to get the developer to change his mind about the future of that building. So we were able to do that. We've had more than a few meetings regarding housing in the area. Botanical Square certainly was one of them. We, you know, worked to get a committee together in the buildings to solve some of their own problems and to work with their landlords. I'm trying to remember what else we've done in the past. Needless to say, we make sure we have a police officer at each one of our meetings. So if people have any concerns or issues, they're brought up at that time. As far as the park is concerned, we put a lot of time in with forming what we call our little garden. We have a garden along Webster Avenue. We've had it really for years. And we, in addition to the cleanups that we have, we also do plantings there both spring and fall, and try to maintain the area and keep in contact with our park workers, both locally and their supervisors, if there are any problems.
And this area of the Bronx has been called leafy. The 52nd Precinct building, which actually was designated as a landmark in 1974, 1 year before the city tried to close it, even in the designation report, it describes the neighborhood as still retaining a bucolic feel, despite it being in the Bronx. And you have Frisch Field, you have Moshalu Parkway, you have the New York Botanic Gardens. Would you say that despite some of the changes that are coming to the neighborhood, that greenery persists? Or do you feel that there's been an erosion of that green feel?
Well, the greenery has persisted. We were able, with the help of other organizations in the area, to get our council person to allot $5 million to renovate Frisch Field. In fact, we have a parks meeting tomorrow night where they're going to present the plans to us. So that's a plus for the neighborhood. And as you say, times change. It used to always be baseball or softball, but now the outfield is being used by the soccer league. So we're hoping that with the diagrams that are brought to us, that we will be able to accommodate more than one sport. So that's a plus. What our major problem is right now is we're losing a lot of our private homes. We were always a great mixture of apartment buildings, co-ops, and private homes. And the developers have just hit this area one after another, up on 2nd and 23rd Street. They wiped out, I would say, about 8 to 10 private homes, and they're putting up two huge structures. And, you know, by the time it gets to us, there's very little we can do because it's as of right. And that today seems to be our major problem. And a lot of people are throwing their hands up and saying, oh, the neighborhood is going to be so crowded. Of course, parking is a major problem now with all the new buildings going up, even though we seem to have all these bikes all over the neighborhood, city bike, most people are still driving. And we'll continue to drive.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I'm very close with some folks who live on Sedgwick Avenue, just across the reservoir. And parking is it's non-existent, and it's a very troubling aspect of quality of life issue.
And many spots, they had the nerve to put the bike racks in, not on the sidewalk, but in the road where people normally park.
So I know that a lot of this development has come because of there was a 2009 rezoning of Webster Avenue, but you're seeing development outside the rezoning area. Do you think that the two are connected, or how has the neighborhood changed since this rezoning?
It started on Webster. And little did we know that the side streets or zone for 8 to 10, 8 to 12 story buildings. All right. We always, because our apartment buildings were all six stories, felt that that's what the zoning was in the neighborhood. And when we found out that that was not the zoning in the neighborhood, and these developers seem to have found this out too, and we're taking advantage of the area, I know Community Board 7 tried to stop it by hiring a consultant and also trying to get a plan together whereby we can change the zoning. Needless to say, city planning would not touch it because, of course, they had gotten directives from the mayor's office, who was looking to bring in all these developers. So at this point, our schools were overcrowded before the development began. So I'm sure they'll be more than overcrowded now with these buildings going up. And as I said, the parking, certainly recreational space is limited. The last two summers, we've had people we've never seen before come to Marshall Parkway and, do things that were never allowed on the parkway. So it's been a big change, and there's more than a few groups of us and residents in the area who are trying to keep a certain amount of stability in the area.
You once, described the Bronx as the stepchild of the city. Would you like to extrapolate on that, like what you mean by that?
Well, certainly when it comes to enforcement, we certainly don't get the enforcement of rules and regulations. A major problem in the summertime has been illegal barbecuing along Marshall Parkway. People get very upset first. The coals from the barbecue ruin the grass when people just dump them at the end of their session. And a lot of our buildings face out right on the parkway. And who needs that type of smoke coming through your air conditioning or your screens or whatever? And we still have several co-ops along the parkway, and people invest in their apartments and they want the area around them kept clean and neat. And it's been a problem. I mean, people have parties without getting permits. By the time we get the pep squad over here, the party is all set up and whatever. It's not easy. I mean, we've had people bring ponies onto the parkway to have some type of a entertainment for the kids, giving them pony rides and whatever, and it's just been out of hand. In addition to the park, certainly sanitation has been a major problem since COVID. The mayor reduced street cleaning in this neighborhood to once a week. All right. So we used to have it twice a week. He reduces it, and enforcement really is non-existent. Cars don't move. In fact, I noticed there was an article in yesterday's New York News about this, that people just ignore it. They don't move. They don't get ticketed. And the trash is just out there. I've been in this neighborhood a long time, and I have never seen it as dirty as it is now.
Yeah, that's so your organization, Bedford Moshulu Community Association has a very simple mission statement, which is to preserve the quality of life there. So it sounds like the quality of life issues over its nearly 50 years have changed from what they initially were. Do you think overall these quality of life issues will get better? Or how do you think that, do you think if it weren't for your association that things would be worse, possibly, is another way to think
about
it?
Well, I feel the only way you get some attention is to bring it before these agencies, the problems before the agencies, when we try to invite somebody from each agency each month and also to bring the issues before your elected officials. I mean, if we didn't exist, I don't know, you know, what would be done and what wouldn't be done. I have people, you know, I walk the street and people come up to me. Can you do something about this? Can you find out what's happening here? Whatever. And I feel the association has served the community over the years. There's a lot more that I hope gets done, but considering we're all volunteers, we have no paid staff, that we try our best.
Yeah, and I have been to a few of your monthly meetings, and I was always impressed with the people who would show up to each meeting every month. And I think it's so smart to invite city stakeholders and to let everyone know that your organization is a presence in the community. And the fact that people do come up to you on the street is remarkable, that they know that you're someone that they can come to. I want to go back to the development quickly, because I know that your association in the past had been interested in pursuing historic preservation or landmarking as a strategy to help maybe mitigate some of this rampant development that you've experienced in the neighborhood. I know I've heard about parking and some other quality of life issues, but what exactly about preservation would help preserve the quality of life for you? Is it how the place looks and feels?
Well, I think it's a little more than that. What we were able to do is we worked more than a few years ago to get a strip of houses along Perry Avenue, just south of 21st, declared landmarks. And actually, several of them were sold in the last year, but the prices that the people who sold them got were just astronomical for the area. And also, the people who bought them are living there, which is something, you know, we wanted to make sure happened, and not people buying homes and then renting them and whatever. So that is a plus. And I think the fact that they have been declared landmarks encouraged that. We have a couple of landmarks, the church, the precinct, a few other places in the area. And I think it's, you know, from a historic point of view, people like that. And hopefully we'll be able to save some of these buildings by doing that.
Do you have any buildings or any more blocks in mind that you think, being a like longtime resident, knowing the neighborhood probably better than anyone else, that should be preserved? Like,
Well, certainly the 21st Street area from Perry to Bainbridge Avenue has more than a few private homes. And at the corner right at Bainbridge is the Congregationalist Church, which is a landmark already. And I know if we could get those private homes declared landmarks, it would be helpful to keep that bucolic feeling in the area and whatever. Because what's happening with these developers, you never know. They knock on your next door neighbor's door and all of a sudden they're selling to a developer and they just can't resist the money that's presented to them.
Right. And this is an area of the Bronx that has very few landmarks. Actually, the Bronx is a borough. Hopefully we'll be getting some new landmarks there soon, but you are fortunate enough to have Perry Avenue, which is very beautiful, and the houses work with the topography of the neighborhood. You're in a very hilly area. And I know that there had been some discussion before of even designating Moshalu Parkway as a scenic landmark. Is that something you want to talk about?
We would love to be able to do that. Of course, we would need some help with that whole process. I know the Friends of Moshalu Parkland spoke about it, and of course Bedford Moshalu would support it, but you know, it's hard to get people who are going to give of their time to develop these issues, and whatever has to be done, the process I'm sure would take some time. but it would be great if we could get that, because certainly we would hate to see any development on Marshaloo. And I know there's a state law that they cannot develop on parkland. However, you know, there are ways of getting around this too.
It's very true. People can get things done if they want it bad enough, or if they have the resources.
Yeah, right.
Yep. Exactly. So that's a very good point, because it's such a wonderful part of the Bronx that just connects so many different green spaces in the borough, between the Botanic Garden up to Van Cortlandt Park and all the little niches of parks in between.
One thing that we lost, I guess it's the last 4 or 8 years, was we used to have what we call the Quad. It was the four institutions in the Bronx: Montefiore Hospital, Botanical Gardens, Bronx Zoo, and Fordham University. When Bloomberg was our mayor, they used to meet once a month downtown and, you know, discuss issues for the area. And granted, you know, the community didn't always agree with some of the things they wanted to do, but they were able to come up with some very good ideas also. And then once we changed the candidate in the mayor's office, it was disbanded. And of course, COVID hasn't helped, because the institutions themselves are hurting with, you know, the lack of being open full time and people going there and whatever. So, you know, we do have these great institutions, but as far as reaching out, it's limited at this point.
Yeah, COVID has disrupted everything. And New York was as the epicenter of the outbreak. We're still recovering. Every neighborhood I speak to, every institution, even NYU, who I work for, things have not, even in September of 2021 now, things have not fully gone back to the way they were and may not. So my last question for you is, what does the future for your organization look like as you approach your 50th year?
Well, we hope to continue to move on. We have a lot of new people in the neighborhood now with all these new buildings, and we're hoping to reach out to many of them who would be interested in joining and whatever. And we hope that they too will support us in our fight for the improvement in quality of life in Bedford Park and along Marshaloo.
I hope so too. And maybe just like with the organizing for the precinct, leaflets will help get the job done.
Yes, yes, hopefully. I mean, once we start meeting in person, we fly in the buildings in the area whenever we're having a meeting. We haven't done that. We've, you know, everything went out via email. So unless we had your email address, you didn't know there was a meeting. And we're trying. We work very hard to keep the organization going during COVID.
And I think you've done a great job. So,
thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I want to talk to you about one thing after this. So hang on after I stop recording. But I want to thank you so much for your time today and your commitment to your neighborhood and community. It certainly wouldn't be the same without you. So thank you very much for your service, Barbara.
Okay, you're welcome.